I'm going to talk about the brain box model, and this work is based on work which I written with three works. One with Alberto Zaffaroni, where we first introduced the models. One with Matt Strassler and Angel Uranga, where we studied finite gauge theories, and one with Angel Uranga, in which we studied the correspondence of such models to brain zone singularities. Now, there are related works done by Gimon and Gren, where they find some condition on the bending, in which I will discuss in a moment. Harmonin van Hoover, which discussed some properties with the including oriented folds, and Randall, Schirman, and Van Unge, which discussed some problems related to bending in one loop. Now, so what do we do with these brain box models? Well, we take them to construct a large class of n equals 1 four-dimensional chiral gauge theories. This will be done using brains in type 2B. And now, yesterday we heard about the construction of chiral gauge theories using a particular brain configuration in type 2A. And that was also a particular matter content. In this example, we in this construction, we'll find that we have a very large class of chiral gauge theories, and this construction helps in understanding the dynamics of these theories for strong coupling. One thing that we would like to know using this construction is to understand how a dynamical supersymmetry breaking arises. So we would like to have some geometric interpretation of such a phenomenon. And to understand such a thing, we will need to understand a concept which is called bending. What is a bending? Let me just say a little bit here. Well, we saw in the previous talk by Barak that there is a brain configuration. He drew a configuration of this type. And that was the configuration which he said that is drawn for G-string equals to 1. Now, typically, in our construction, we will have a D5 brain, say, which ends on the Weschwarz 5 brain. And when the gauge the string coupling is equal to 0, we have a configuration which has this form. When we turn on G-string to be large, then the 5 brain begins to bend until it reaches a 45 degree for G-string equal to 1. If we even continue that to infinite string coupling, then the 5 brain will be completely bent, and we will find, as is also consistent with SL2Z duality, that it is a horizontal line. Now, this follows roughly from intuitively from the fact that the tension of the 5 brain goes like 1 over G string, and the tension of the NS brain goes like 1 over G string squared. And that's why for G string equals to 0, the 5 brain can hardly bend the NS brain. Now, the problem of brain bending is very complicated, and at the moment is not currently solved. But once we will understand that, we will know how to describe dynamical supersymmetry breaking or other strongly coupled phenomena in those theories. So most of the construction, in fact all of the construction that we will have, will be done for G-string equals to 0, and that simplifies the pictures that we can draw. And as we said before, in this limit, the brains look like straight lines, and they simplify the description. Now, next, if we look at the configuration for small values of this G-string, then the brains will bend slightly, and then we expect that the theory will give us some information about the one loop contributions. For example, the gauge coupling contributions for the gauge coupling will describe by a slight bending of the brains. Large D-string, on the other hand, is expected to describe for us the non-perturbative corrections to those theories. Now, there is a subset of these models in which there will be no bending at all. And that happens when five brains end on an S brains in the same amount from both sides. For these configurations, there will be no bending, and then we will have these will be identified with finite gauge theories. So such a construction gives us a large class of finite gauge theories, and some of these theories were described in an alternative fashion in a talk by Bershadsky and maybe other. Okay. Now, so we will see how to construct large class of finite gauge theories using this principle of no bending. Okay, now this finite gauge theory has a set of marginal couplings, couplings which couple to dimension 4 operators, which do not get corrections, quantum corrections. And we will want to first count how many we have to identify them, and then there will be some duality group which will act on them, the analog of SL to Z duality for the case of n equals 4 supersymmetry in 4 dimensions. So we want to characterize such a duality transformation. Okay. So let us turn to the construction. What is the basic idea? So first, let me remind you of a brain interval. And this was done in a work that I did with Ed Witten. And then we took a brain spanning on an interval bounded one by two NS brains, like in this picture. Here we have a four brain stretch between two NS brains. The boundary conditions impose reduction to four dimensions in the infrared. So this is a five-dimensional theory, but since it's on an interval, we have a four-dimensional theory at the infrared. In addition, we reduce half of the supersymmetry, so we get n equals to 2 supersymmetry in four dimensions. The idea is to expand such a thing to have, instead of one interval, to have two intervals. Okay? So this was done in work with Alberto Zaffaroni, and we take a five brain, like in this picture. We bound it in both sides, in both directions, by a pair of NS brains, the green lines, and a pair of NS prime brains. We start with a theory on the five brain, which has 16 supersymmetries. The boundary conditions remove all of the scalar fields. And in addition, we break the supersymmetry to n equals 1. And therefore, this configuration describes n equals 1 super Young Mills with the, if we take n d5 brains, this gives SUN gauge theory. Okay? So, this is the basic brain box model. Interesting properties of these models is, for example, to count the Witten index. I will not show it here, but it is possible to do that. And, well, for example, to calculate the dynamically generated superpotential. Now, okay, here I draw some I put up some directions in which the brains are stretched. So the five brains are stretched along the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those are the NS brains. NS primes are 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7, and these five brains are drawn in the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. And that would be a typical configuration in the 4 and 6 space. Okay. So we saw what we what is the field theory that we get from one box. Let us now put two boxes next to each other, and when two boxes touch each other, we get a chiral multiplet, massless chiral multiplet, and this is the dictionary that we have. We have three types of fields, which we call H, V, and D, corresponding to horizontal, vertical, and diagonal intersection of boxes. So in this case, we have N D5 brains next to M D5 brains. They touch each other and give rise to a matter field which transforms in the fundamental, anti-fundamental of the gauge group. Similarly, there will be V and D fields, and the arrows denote the chirality of the representation. In addition to massless fields, we have also interactions, and the interactions appear whenever we have closed triangles formed by these arrows that we drew before. So for example, take this model. This model is built out of three NS brains and three NS prime brains, and we have four types of boxes in which we can put an arbitrary number of D5 brains in each, and therefore we get a group of four factors, SUN times M, K times SUR, and then the matter content arises from the rules that we have said before, and the interactions correspond to the lower triangle and the upper triangle that we see in the picture. Note that there is a relative sign between the lower and upper triangle. Okay? So let us turn to a simple example which we can do with this construction. And this is the famous 3-2 model. And so let us look at an example of two brain box configurations and see what is the difference between them. First of all, we take a configuration of this type. We put two infinite boxes to the left, three here, two and one, and we use the rules that we said before. We get the matter content, which is those four fields. But then we see that there are no closed triangles, and therefore there is no superpotential for such a field theory. We compare this to the following configuration, which has the same matter content, but it has a superpotential which is of this type. Now, the first brain configuration has flat directions which correspond to, it has three different flat directions. One of them corresponds to reconnecting all of the brains horizontally and then lifting them up and down. Okay? That will be one type of flat direction. Another flat direction would be to lift, say, to introduce a finite distance between the first and second green lines or the second and third. Okay, so there are three types of classical flat directions for this theory, and if you will check the field theory, you will find indeed that there are three different flat directions for this. On the other hand, this theory, if you can try to lift one of the brains, you will find that break supersymmetry, and therefore there is no flat direction. There are no flat directions for this theory. And also check the field theory, you will find that this field theory has no flat directions. Now, this model is supposed to dynamically break supersymmetry, whereas this model does not. Now, we cannot able to say yet what is the what will be the string, the behavior of this system when we turn on G-string, but this is an important problem. Once we will realize what happens to the bending, we will find that this has no supersymmetric configuration when G-string is large, and this will have a nice behavior for G-string large. Okay, so these are the things that we expect to understand using these constructions. And now, let me describe a rather generic configuration. We will now turn to the analysis of some finite field theories which arise in this construction. So the first thing that we will do is that we will choose the 4 and 6 directions to be on a torus with some radii, and we will find that this is crucial to having a finiteness in our theory. The typical model will consist, the generic model will consist of K and S brains, K prime and S prime brains, and then such a setup will divide our torus into K times K prime different boxes. In each box, we are allowed to put as many 5 brains as we like, and so the gauge group will be this type of gauge group. And we will have those 3 types of matter fields that we talked about before, H, V, and D, in the bifundamental of the following gauge groups. And using our rules again, we can write down the superpotential, and it will be of this type. Okay, now we can count how many gauge couplings we have. The gauge couplings correspond to areas of the boxes, and we find that even though we have K times K prime box gauge theories, we have only K plus K prime minus 2 different parameters, which correspond just to positions of the NS or NS prime brains. Okay, so we have K minus 1 different positions of NS brains, and K minus 1 different positions of NS prime brains. In addition, we have the area of the torus, so altogether we'll have K plus K prime minus 1 parameters, which are in the field theory marginal parameters. Now, this is not the complete story, and in fact the field theory contains more marginal parameters, and to find those we will need to introduce what we call HBD permutation. But let me first do an example, and this example actually we saw in the this morning's lecture by Brian Green, where he described the Z2 cos Z2 model, if you recall, the matter content was identical to what we have here. So now this is also kind of start for what we will identify. I hope we will have time for that, but we have a general correspondence between brains on singularity, the type that Brian Green talked about, and brain boxes. There is actually a one-to-one mapping, so that for a given brain box model we can have a corresponding brains on singularity set up, and vice versa. So what is the theory? We have 4 gauge groups, and each box has 3 different directions. There are 12 matter fields. They transform in this representation, these representations, and in addition we have also 8 Yukawa interactions, which correspond to 4 vertices, and on each vertex there are 2 triangles. Now, I should remind that since we are on the torus, the NS plane to the left is identified with an S plane to the right, and so does the vertical upper and lower NS plane, NS prime plane. Okay. So, here are more examples. These are if we take k and k prime to be equal to 1, namely 1 in S brain and 1 in S prime brain, we get the n equals 4 theory, and the H, B and D matter fields are charged under the same gauge group, therefore they become adjoint fields, and they have this, using our rules, they have this superpotential, which is nothing but the superpotential for n equals 4 theory. And then we can have some expressions for the gauge coupling and the theta angle given by this. These are examples of n equal 2 models. For n equal 2 models, we can count the number of parameters, and we find that they are given by k minus 1 distances and one additional parameter of the torus. Altogether, we have k parameters, and this is precisely the number of marginal couplings that we have for this class of models. Okay. Next thing, we want to introduce some models with non-trivial identification. This includes somewhat more complicated models, but this helps in identifying what happens to them in the singularity picture. Now, this is a slight change in notation. Up to now, we drew brains in... the numbers in boxes were denoting the number of D5 brains. In this particular picture, the number inside the box will denote the... will kind of be an index which denotes the box. So when we look at this model, the two always represents the same box. Now, why do we call that models with non-trivial identification? Because we look at the lowest box, okay, and then we take the box when we move around the circle once, the whole box is shifted one unit to the left. And so we will denote this model by k equals 3, k prime equals 1, and p equals 1, which denote the shift once to the left. And in general, well, first of all, before going to the general case, we can use our rules for identifying the matter content and the interactions. We find this type of matter content, the interactions... Okay, so the superpotential is given by this, and this is maybe more known as the Z3 model. When we put a D3 brain on a C3 mod Z3 singularity. Now, next, we can consider a generalization of that. So the general model will be composed out of k boxes times k prime, which are shifted p to the left. Okay, so this will be the general model. And the problem that we face is to count how many different marginal couplings does a theory have. So given the number k, k prime and p, we define a finite model, and we want to count how many marginal parameters we have. So to do that, let me introduce what we call the HBD permutation, which I mentioned before. And to remind, we have a model which is described by the integer numbers k, k prime and p. And it has three types of fields given by H, V, and D, with some superpotential which has this typical form given here. Now, the number of parameters that we could count were k minus 1 vertical lines, k prime minus 1 horizontal lines, but we didn't have anything which represents some diagonal motions. Now, this is some type of asymmetry, which we will see by the following example. Suppose that, First of all, we can look at the field theory. We can analyze some flood directions, and we will find that there are flood directions along H directions, namely by lifting some of the NS brains, the horizontal NS brains. We can do some vertical directions by lifting vertical brains, but we don't know how to realize some diagonal perturbation. Nevertheless, the field theory has such a thing. So we will try to make a permutation in the sense, well, suppose that we change the notation H to V. Okay? So from a field theory point of view, renaming the fields H and V does not change much, and we are still left with the same matter content, just that we gave different names for the fields. On the other hand, from the point of view of the brain box picture, changing H and V corresponds to changing the Neveu-Schwarz 5 brains with Neveu-Schwarz prime 5 brains. Okay? So this is not too crucial, but nevertheless it is a change. But now let's consider changing H and D, for example. And in general, we have six possible permutations. So let us see what happens when we do one of them. Okay? So suppose that we start with the model given by K and S brains, K prime and S prime brains, and P equals to zero. These are models with trivial identifications. There are no sheets to the left. So the model, the generic model, will look like that. And now we make the permutation which replaces H with D. I'm sorry, this leaves H, but it replaces D and V. Okay? So we can follow our rules and look at fields which start diagonally, lead from 5 to 1. In the new picture, they will lead diagonally from 5 to 1. We can compare a horizontal 5 to 6, and we will find 5 leads to 6. And we also have a diagonal 2 leads to 5. Here, they will lead vertically, 2 leads to 5. Okay? So you can check that this is the new model, which we get by this permutation, which changes H, V and D. Now, let us count parameters in this model. We find 4 vertical lines. We find 2 horizontal lines. And we find 2 diagonal lines. Namely, if you go along diagonals, you find that 2, 5 goes back to itself after 2 diagonals. Now, in the new picture, what we call diagonal deformations, now we count vertical deformations, and it's perfectly clear that we can move in the new picture those vertical lines. So, in conclusion, there are some diagonal deformations that are not so visible in this plane picture, but using those H, V, and D permutations, we find that they exist there, and the number of such is given by the greatest common divisor of K and K prime, and therefore we conclude that the number of parameters that we have in our theory is given by this formula, K plus K prime plus R, where R is the greatest common divisor, minus 2. This actually should be added with one overall coefficient, which corresponds to the area of the terms. Okay, so this is our counting of the marginal parameters. Sorry? Okay, thank you. So now let me describe what we have when we make this correspondence between brain zone singularity to brain box model. Now, you've heard the description of how to put brains on singularity, yesterday from Bershatsky and today from Green. So I will not repeat this the setup, but I will show an example of how, given a brain on singularity picture, you can construct a corresponding brain model, brain box model. So given a discrete gauge group gamma and its action on the three complex coordinates, we will construct a brain model, a brain box model, by identifying the three different actions of the three complex coordinates with the fields H, B, and D. If we start with an irreducible representation of Z3, 0, then we follow H, say, we jump by one unit, so we get this 1 and 2. We follow V, which also means to jump by one unit, we get 0, 1, and 2, and so on. And therefore, we will get the Z3 model that you have seen in a previous slide before. So that's, and now we can read off the matter content, and it fits exactly with what the model we saw before. Another construction, this, the ZK, you follow this this rule. Now the corresponding representation is this, 1P minus P minus 1, and you get this type of brain box model. Okay. So we get a mapping. You saw how we can do a mapping between brains on singularity. We can also do the mapping between brain box models. Given a brain box model, we can construct the corresponding singularity. Now, let me describe another generalization that we can do using this brain models, and that this I call brain cubes and brain hypercubes. And this is again a simple generalization of this to put instead of a one and two dimensional intervals that we had before, let us now treat a three dimensional interval, okay, and four dimensional intervals. So a three dimensional interval will be a cube, and a four dimensional interval will be hypercube. And so to describe this setup, let us pick a D5 brain in type 2B, which is in the corresponding coordinates 1 up to 5. And this describes a six-dimensional gauge theory with 16 supercharges, and there are no intervals. So n here tells us what is the number of intervals. D will be the dimension of the corresponding field theories. Now let us add another NS brain, and we will have one interval, namely we put this 5 brain on an interval given by the NS brains. The NS brain fills these directions, and now we get A supersymmetries. Okay? This is a description actually which was Barak mentioned that briefly in his last okay, thank you. In last oh, this is, I'm sorry, okay. Okay, so I hope that you get the picture of that. Adding more and more brains will reduce the number of supersymmetry, and in addition will reduce the number of dimensions, such that at the end we will have one supersymmetry, n equals one supersymmetry in two dimensions. And recently there was a paper by Uranga and Garcia and Paran, which dealt with such a brain box, brain cube construction for 0-2 models. Okay. Let me say about the conclusions. Okay, we have brain box models which give us tools for studying dynamics of n equals 1 four-dimensional chiral gauge theories. Bending is still an open problem, but this will teach us behavior of the strong coupling. No bending corresponds to zero beta function and to finite gauge theories. We know how to count the number of marginal operators, and we also know how to describe the correspondence between these brains and brains on singularities. A nice feature that we have is that using the field theory data, we can calculate T-dual pairs by comparing the resulting brain box model with the brain on singularity. And then we saw also brain cubes and hypercubes. And thank you.
We have time for one or two quick questions.
Yes.
In that case, natural cancellation conditions impose important restrictions to determine anomaly-free Bayes theory.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see similar conditions in your construction?
The question is how to see anomaly cancellations in this construction.
Okay, I have no complete answer to that. I don't know how anomalies are cancelled in this brain box models, but there were some suggestions to look at that. One was by Gimon and Graham, and they basically looked at bending of different configurations, and the brain, their condition was basically take this vertex and compare what happens to the bending, and they said basically that the sum of A and D should equal to B plus C, because that gives you the bending. Now, if you impose their condition, you get anomaly cancellation free. But I think that this condition is too restrictive. For example, Super Young Mills does not sit in this class of models. We should hope to get a better condition which will give us anomaly cancellation. Now, there was another paper by Randall et al., and they showed that indeed this condition is not, well, is gives some type of bending in which the brains do not have to satisfy this condition, but still there was no better description of the anomaly cancellation. So at the moment we put the anomaly cancellations by hand. By the way, this condition here, if we impose it on the brain, on the box model, we find that there is at least one marginal operator in the model. So I would say that this condition is good to describing theories which have at least one marginal coupling. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amit?
I'm not sure if the last answer is that the construction configuration in the first part of the book, which is finite G-string, is chiral in four dimensions.
Oh, sure.
The question was, are there configurations for finite G-string which are chiral in four dimensions?
Yeah, most of the setups that we saw. Yes. I'm sorry.
If you take the condition of G1.
Well, we saw that it is not necessary. It is not necessary to take this condition into account. In which the brains will not, what?
Will not clear apart according to the bending, which are consistent with the condition.
Yeah, I think so.
What he's saying is that unless you satisfy the condition, the fibers will clear apart.
Well, yeah, okay, so there is a nice picture in the paper of Randall et al. Which demonstrates how, even though you think the brains will tear apart, there is, of course, change in the orientation of the brains, but it is done in a smooth fashion. Okay? So, yeah, there are many, there is a large class of models which exists for finite G-string coupling. And actually, there's always a minimal surface brain configuration which will exist, which does not necessarily preserve supersymmetry. And for these models, I would interpret this as giving dynamical supersymmetry breaking.
I think we're out of time, so any other questions will be left to private discussions. Let's thank the speaker again.